of St. Matthew, chapter number 6. We'll find the text for today. Matthew, chapter number 6. Amen. We thank you so much. We do give honor to God, to the Spirit of Christ, to my wife in her absence, and to our children who are under the weather. Amen. Today. But we thank God. Amen. That we are here able to come anyway. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. So that a lot of them. Once one gets sick, you know how it goes. All of them turn around and get sick too. So, amen. But we're excited, amen. No matter what happens, God is still good, amen. He's still worthy of our praise. They'll be fine. They'll be okay. They're kids. They're resilient, amen. Some of us don't bounce back as easy, but kids bounce back easy, amen. Amen. So we thank God for that, amen. At least that's my prayer, because I don't feel like dealing with sick kids all day, amen. That's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter number 6, amen, verses 25 through 34. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. We'll be remiss to say, I forgot to say last week, but we have some newlyweds among us. Amen. And we thank God for the newlyweds. Let's thank God. Amen. They got married on New Year's Eve. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is great. Amen. He's great to be praised. She was such a beautiful bride. He was okay. He was okay too. He didn't look as good as I did. He didn't look good. I'm just kidding, amen. No, they look great. They had a great day, amen, and they have great memories, amen. I can't wait to see the pictures and all those types of things. So God is great, amen. The Bible talks about marriage being a great thing. I know society diminishes its meaning. I know people don't understand the true value of marriage today, but it really doesn't matter what people say. What God said is what's most important, amen. And marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. So we're excited about, amen, their marriage, amen. Starting out the new year married as a married couple, amen. Ending the last year as a married couple. What an honor it is and a privilege it is, amen, to be there. So we thank God for that, amen. St. Matthew chapter number 6, verses 25 through 34. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good and he is worthy of our praise. The scripture says, amen. Jesus said, this is why I tell you, don't worry. Amen. Don't worry about your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink. And don't worry about your body, what you shall wear. Isn't life more than food? And isn't the body more than what you're going to wear? Look at the birds of the sky. You see, they don't reap and they don't sow or reap or gather barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you worth more to God than birds? And can you add anything to your life by worrying? And why do you worry about your clothes? Look at the wildflowers. See how they grow. They don't labor. They don't spin thread. Yet I tell you that Solomon in all his splendor was not clothed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? O ye of little faith. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the idolaters and the foreigners worry eagerly these things. But your heavenly Father knows what you need of. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble to worry about. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. For a little while, we're going to use for a thought. Amen. Don't worry about it. Amen. Don't worry about it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Don't worry about it. Somebody asked me what I was preaching Sunday, and I said, don't worry about it. Amen. Don't worry about it. Amen. Somebody asked you today what the preacher talked to you about. You don't remember nothing else. Just tell them, don't worry about it. Amen. Amen. You got to say it with an attitude, though. You can't just say don't worry about it. You got to say don't worry about it. Amen. You got to snap your neck with it and stuff like that. You know how y'all women do. Amen. Sometimes the men, too, when you get angry and upset, you snap your neck. Don't worry about it. Make sure you say it that way. Amen. We're like, oh, what'd I do to you? We're like, no, let me explain. It's an opportunity for the gospel to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about it. Now, worry means to give way to anxiety or to unease. To give way to anxiety or unease. To allow your mind to dwell on difficulty or trouble. A state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or even potential problems. To give way to anxiety. To give way to unease. to allow your mind to dwell on difficulty, to dwell, to think about over and over again, trouble, instead of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or even potential problems. We worry about so many things. We worry about our health. We worry about having enough money. We worry about the doctor's report. We worry about our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews. We worry about our job security, our retirement. We worry about things from the past. We worry about things happening now. We worry about things in the future. We worry about scenarios that we make up in our head that's not even real reality. We just made them up and we start worrying about them. We worry about people, what they think about us, what they're going to say if I do this, what they're going to say if I do that. We worry if and when we will ever get married. We worry about so many things. Amen. There seems to be so much in our lives to worry about. Amen. In our day-to-day experience, there seems to be so much to be concerned with. And there are things in life that we can't control. So why worry about the things that we can't control? Amen. I'm going to say that again. That's the word writing down. There are so many things in life that we cannot control. They're beyond our scope of control. Why worry about the things that we can't control? Verse 21 lets us to know, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, your heart will follow where your treasure is. Your heart will follow whatever you prioritize. Your heart will follow. Your thoughts will follow. Amen. Your actions will follow whatever you value. It's important, amen. If it's important to you, you won't make excuses for it. If it's important to you, you won't make excuses why you couldn't make it and why you couldn't be there. If it's important to you, you'll go all in to be sure that it's taken care of and that things are happening the way you want them to happen. Amen. You'll find a way, amen, no matter if obstacles come or not. If it's important to you, obstacles won't stop you. If it's important to you, things, amen, trying to stop you and prevent you won't stop you. If it's really important to you, you'll be sure to find a way. Make it happen. You see, we will only serve God for so long if he's not in our heart. We'll only do something for so long if it's not in our heart. We go through emotions a lot in life because it's the right thing to do or because we feel like we should or because this or that. We have different reasons. But if it's not in our heart, it won't last. It's only going to be for a certain amount of time. If it's not in your heart, you'll only serve him for so long. And many of us value the things of this world more than the things of God. Amen. Many of us put our heart and our soul and our priorities in the things of this world. And that's why he said, wherever your heart is, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Whatever you value, that's where your time will be spent. I can tell what's important to you if I look at your bank statement. Amen. If you go to fast food all the time, I can tell fast food is your thing. Amen. That's important to you. You're making sure you're eating. If I look at your bank statement, I can see you buying clothes and shoes. I can tell clothes and shoes are your priority. Amen. I can tell what's important to you. Amen. By the things you do, by how you spend your time and how you spend your money. I can tell what's important to you. Amen. Things of this world are temporary, while the things of God are lasting. The things of this world are risky, while the things of God are secure. The things of this world are stressful, while the things of God will bring us peace. In order to fully trust God, we must have learned to abandon worry. Amen. That's a good one right there. In order to truly trust God, we must learn to abandon worry. If we find our value in God rather than the things of the world, we won't worry so much. If we find our value in the things of God rather than the things of the world, we won't worry so much. If we find our value in Christ, amen, rather than the things of this world, then we won't worry so much. Amen. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you trust God, all your problems will go away. I'm not suggesting that if you trust God, nothing will ever go wrong in your life. I'm not suggesting that if you trust God, every situation will work out in your favor. I'm not suggesting if you trust God that everything will be okay, all peaches and no disaster, no trouble, no enemies, no worry. I'm not suggesting anything that way. But I am suggesting, however, amen, beloved, that if we learn to trust God, amen, we can, no matter what we go through, we can learn to trust God. Amen. No matter what we face in our lives, we must learn to trust God. Amen. No matter how bad things get in your life, you must learn to trust in God. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter what happens, you can trust God. You see, there's a difference, beloved, between worry and concern. Most of us in our lives will experience worry, amen, but most of it is because it started out as concern. Amen. Concern is one thing. Amen. If I'm concerned about something, amen, I can move to action to prevent what the concern can be. If I'm concerned, amen, that I might not have enough money, maybe I can stop spending so much and start saving, amen, so that I can be prepared for a rainy day. Concern will produce action. Concern, amen, is wise. Concern causes us to move to prevent things that we worry about. But worry is different. You see, worry is all-consuming. You see, no matter what you do to prepare, worry says, oh, it's not going to be good enough. Amen. No matter what you do to get it out the way, worry says, no, you're still going to happen. You're still fearful. You're still concerned. Because no matter what you do, worry will consume you. It's the difference between worry and concern. And we have to realize, amen, we're all going to get concerned about things. I'm not saying we're going to be stress-free and worry-free. But in life, you're going to be concerned about things, but you don't have to allow your concern to turn into worry. There's a difference. When you're concerned, you move to action. You fix it. You prepare. You get ready to prevent whatever the potential could be that you're concerned about. So worry and concern are two different things, and we have to learn, amen, when we're concerned, amen, about things to prepare ourselves so we won't worry. Because worry will immobilize you. Worry will overwhelm you. Worry will make you stagnant. It makes you just sit there and do nothing but sit there and fear. I don't want to get out of bed. I just want to sit in the bed and watch TV. I don't even want to watch TV because that's depressing too. I don't want to do nothing. All I want to do is pull the covers over my head, turn the blinds down. I know the sun is shining, but turn the blinds down. I don't want nobody to see me like this. I don't want to see the sun. I don't want to see nothing. Worry will take you there. If you allow it, it'll take you to depression. It'll take you to suicidal thoughts. It'll take you to crazy things in your head. You need to learn to stop yourself from worrying. Don't consume yourself with worry. Jesus told us in our text, he said, listen, don't worry. He warned us about worry. He said in verse 25, don't worry about your life, what you will eat and what you shall drink and what you shall wear. And don't worry about your body. Amen. Isn't life more than food, and isn't the body more than clothes? Isn't it more to life than what you eat? Amen. My son don't realize that. When my six-year-old boy, my oldest son, I don't know where he get his appetite from. I don't understand where he get it from. I don't know. Amen. Maybe from me, but maybe from my wife. I couldn't tell you who it was. I can't decipher which one it is. But I tell you one thing. He got a big appetite. Man, he need a job. It costs him a lot to feed that little boy. And all he thinks about from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed is what he's going to eat. Isn't it more than life than what you're going to eat, son? Isn't it more than life than what you're going to drink? He just got done eating well. What's for dinner? You just got done eating lunch, right? I haven't thought that far ahead yet. I don't know. Amen. Daddy, I'm hungry. I just woke up. I'm still asleep. Let me sleep and you can eat when I wake up, boy. Go watch TV or something. Amen. Listen, I'm sleepy. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to sleep. Let me sleep in. Amen. Listen, this boy only thinks about food. From the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. But it's important for us to realize there's more to life than food. There's more to life than what you're going to wear. There's more to life than how much money you have in the bank. There's more to life than what neighborhood your house is situated in. There's more to life than that doctor's report that the doctor gave you. There's more to life than what school your kids will go to. There's more to life than whatever you're concerned about. There's more to life than whatever you're afraid of. There's more to life than whatever you're worried about. There is more to life. Hallelujah. We have to realize there's more to life. And whatever we're worried about, amen, don't allow worry to consume you. Don't allow worry to get you to the point where you're doing nothing but pulling the covers over your head, amen, and sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. Don't allow worry, because there's more to life than whatever it is that got you to that point. There's more to life, and we have to get to that more. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 8 lets us to know. He said, fill your minds, amen, fill your hearts, meditate, amen, and consume yourself on the best of life, not the worst of life. Consume yourself with the beautiful of life, not the ugly of life. Consume yourself with things to praise, not things to curse. You see, there's more to life than the things that concern us. And the scripture lets us to know, amen, that when we go through things that make us worried, when we go through things that make us concerned, when times get rough, when things get difficult, when we feel like we should worry, we should learn to think about the good that's happening in our life instead of the bad that could happen. Amen. You see, a lot of times, worry steals our joy because the things we worry about haven't even happened yet. The things we worry about might not even happen. But we're so worried and so consumed and so fearful and that we can't even move forward.
Instead of worrying about all the stuff that might not even happen, how about you enjoy what's already going good in your life right now? Enjoy all the blessings that he has bestowed upon you. Enjoy all the good things that he has given you in your life, because there's so many things you can worry about, but there's so many things that he has done too. So many things I can praise him for. We have to realize, no matter what we go through in our lives, amen, no matter what we face in our lives, there's always something good going on, and we need to fill our minds with the good things. Think about the beautiful things around you instead of the ugly things that are in front of you. Think of the best of life instead of the worst of life. Think about how blessed you are instead of how things are going wrong in your life. I know it's difficult to see how good things are going when you're going through hard times. Amen. I know it's hard to see the good when you're overwhelmed by the bad. But although it's hard, although it's difficult, you have to realize you are still blessed. It's important not to overlook how blessed you really are. Amen. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know it's challenging. But you need to learn to bless him. That's why the scripture said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise will continually be in my mouth. I know sometimes it's difficult, but that's when I have that continual praise. Amen. I know sometimes it's difficult. Amen. But that's when I have that continual praise. No matter what I'm going through, I will continue to praise him. No matter what I'm facing, I will continue to lift him up. No matter what I'm worried about, I will continue to lift him and say he's worthy of my praise. I will continue to bless him. Name of Jesus, because he's worthy of my praise. And I'm telling you, when you learn to praise him, amen, the scriptures say he will give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When you learn to praise him, amen, life won't be so heavy. Amen. When you learn to praise him, the things that you're going through won't seem so difficult. When you learn to praise him, no matter what you're worried about, won't seem so challenging, because you'll learn he's worthy no matter what I go through. I have to praise him. I have to learn to praise him even when I'm going through. Why? Because he's still worthy no matter what I'm going through. And no matter what I do, I praise him. And I realize when I begin to praise him, amen, that my problem don't seem so big. My situation don't seem so much worry. I don't seem so concerned about it. Amen. Because I realize in his presence, compared to him, amen, my problem is smaller. Compared to him, my problem is not that big. Compared to him, my weights are not that heavy. Compared to him, when I get in his presence, I realize he's much bigger than whatever I'm worried about. He's much bigger than whatever I'm afraid of. He's much bigger than whatever I'm concerned with. He's much bigger. He's much bigger. So I praise him. Amen. I had to learn to praise him no matter what I go through. Amen. Although it's difficult, don't overlook how blessed you are. Amen. During the times when you feel cursed. If you learn to focus on how blessed you are, you won't have time to realize how stressed you are. Come on. If you learn to focus on how blessed you are, you won't have time to realize how stressed you are. Amen. Learn to focus on the good things that are happening in your life. Amen. The good things have a way of distracting you from your stress. The good things have a way of distracting you from your pressure. The good things have a way of distracting you from your worry. When I get worried and I get down and I get depressed, all I got to do is go down stairs, upstairs, or wherever my son is, my little baby boy, and I pick him up and I throw him in the air and I hear that little laugh and I realize, man, this is what life is about. Amen. When I get stressed out and I get worried, I look at my wife and I say, I thank God I found somebody, amen, I can spend the rest of my life with. Amen. When I get difficult and times get challenging, amen, and life beat me up, I look at my children and I say, I thank God I get the opportunity to be their father. I thank God I have a chance, amen, to let them teach them a little thing. And I thank God and I realize what life is really about. It distracts me from my worry. It distracts me, amen, from the things that I'm going through. Amen, you got joyous things happening in your life. And if you focus only on the bad things, you miss out on the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. You rob yourself of all that God is doing because you're depressed and worried about what could happen. Who cares what could happen? You never know what could happen. Stop worrying about what could happen. It might not ever happen. And if it never happened, you wasted all your time worrying about something that never even going to happen.
Yeah, hallelujah, Lord.
Stop worrying about the things that you can't control. Listen, learn to trust God and worry less. Your blessings have a way of reminding you that things could always be worse.
Yeah,
things could always be more challenging. I know they're challenging now, but they could always be more challenging. I know I have lost a family member, amen, that I wish I never lost. Amen. But I could have lost my health too. Amen. I could have lost more family members than the one I have. Because I know people who lost their mom and dad, a month later their dad, and then a month later their uncle, then a month later this. I know people literally that have had this to happen to them. Where they lost one after the other. Amen. You grieving now, amen, over a loss. Amen. But imagine if it was worse. Thank God that it's not worse. All you can do is hold on to the good times. Amen. I know it's difficult. Amen. But you are still blessed. You have to focus on your blessings. Focus on the things that are going right instead of things that are going wrong. The scripture says, look at the birds. They're carefree. They don't work. They don't plant. They don't store. They don't harvest. They don't store food in barns. They don't save nothing. But your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than a bird is? And why worry about your clothes? Look at all the lilies in the field and the grass on the ground. They don't work. They don't save money. They don't invest. But they're taken care of. And yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully about the flowers and the grass, which are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he care for you? Why do you have so little faith? You see, these verses show us that God will take care of his children. If God takes care of the birds of the air, he will take care of you. God loves you more than birds. If God takes care of the lilies of the field, he will care for you. He loves you more than flowers. If God takes care of the grass on the ground, he will take care of you. He loves you more than grass. If God takes care of his creation, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he take care of you, the created? How much more will he take care of his children? If he can take care of his creation, how much more can he take care of his children? Luke 12:24 says it this way. He said, look at the ravens of the air. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store in barns, but God feeds them. And are you not more valuable to God than the ravens? You see, ravens are considered unclean birds. They're considered unclean animals. Yet God still cares for the ravens. And people can be considered unclean. People can be considered unjust. Yet God still cares for us. People can be considered unrighteous. Yet God still cares for us. People can be considered ungodly. Yes, God still cares for us. People can be considered sinful, amen, and selfish. Yet God still cares for us. And if God can care for an unclean bird, how much more will he care for a person that seeks him? If God can care, come on somebody, for an unclean bird, how much more will he care for a person that seeks him? If he can care for an unclean person, how much more will he care for a person that seeks him? If he can care for grass and flowers, amen, how much more will he care for people who seek him? Amen. If God will take care of his creation, you better believe he will take care of his children. Amen. God will meet your needs, not necessarily your wants. He will meet your needs, not necessarily your desires. He will meet your needs. You see, our problem is we're spoiled. We don't know the difference between the need and the desire. We don't know the difference between the want and the need. We don't know the difference, amen. And because we don't know the difference, we get them all confused and all jumbled up together. And we begin to worry and stress out about all the stuff that we want, amen, that we don't necessarily need, amen. And that consumes our lives and it consumes our minds. It consumes our thoughts. It consumes everything we do, not realizing that we already have everything that we need. Stop complaining because you don't have everything that you want. Stop worrying because you don't have everything that you want. Stop worrying and stressing out because you don't have everything that the next person has. Just learn to thank God that your needs are met. Hallelujah. Learn to thank God. I know I might not have everything, but I thank God that my needs are met. Amen. I'm not struggling to go to my next meal. I'm not struggling to put gas in my car. I'm not struggling to pay my bills. I'm not struggling. Amen. Some of my bills I might struggle to pay. Amen. But the most important bills I'm not struggling to pay. Amen. I can pay the ones I need to pay. And I thank God that my needs are met. Amen. I might not have, amen, millions of dollars in the bank, but I thank God, amen, I have what I have. Amen. I might not have what the next person have, but I thank God I have what I have. Amen. I might not have what you have, but I thank God that I have what I have. I have to learn to thank God that my needs are met. Because again, things could always be worse. Verse 27 lets us know, can you add a single hair to your head by worrying? Can you add a single moment to your life by worrying? You see, worry doesn't change anything. Worry can't change anything. What's the point of worrying? You won't add any hair to your head, but some of you can lose your hair from worrying. Come on. You can lose your appetite from worrying. You can lose weight from worrying. Amen. Worry is a waste of time. Worry is counterproductive. Worry can damage your health. Worry is pointless. Worry would never change your situation. Worry makes things worse. Worry makes your perspective worse. Worry makes your attitude worse.
Yes.
You're not yourself when you worry. You're more snappy when you worry. You can't think straight when you worry. You need to grab a Snickers. Say amen, like the commercial said, grab a Snickers. Come on, you're not yourself when you're hungry. Come on, you're not yourself when you worry. Grab a Snickers. Come on. Grab something, amen, to take your mind off of the worry, off the stress, off the things that concern you. You're not yourself when you worry. Amen. It takes you outside of the will of God. Amen. Because when you worry, you're not in the will of God. Worry is not the will of God. If you are worried, you're not in the will of God. The problems of this world are real, but so is God. Amen. Amen. The problems of this world are real. The thing that are there are some things in this world that cause us real concern. There are some things in this world that cause us real stress, real panic, real worry. They're real. But so is God. He's more real than the worry that you feel. He's more real than the stress, the anxiety that you put yourself through. The scripture says, so don't worry about your life. Say what we will eat and what we will drink and what we will wear. These things dominate the mind of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows what you have need of. You see, people who don't know God worry about all the stuff that they're gonna do, how they gonna feed their family, how they gonna do this, how they gonna do that, how they gonna keep up with the Joneses. They worry about the things of this world. People of this world, amen, who don't know God worry about finding security in material possessions. People of this world worry about, people who don't know God worry about things that don't matter. Amen. We are accustomed, amen, in our because we're adults, we're accustomed to taking care of ourselves. We're accustomed to being in charge of our own security. We're accustomed to being in charge of our own destiny, of our own well-being. We're accustomed to meeting our own needs and our own deadlines. We're accustomed to caring for ourselves. We're accustomed to being independent. But we must learn to surrender. We're accustomed to being in charge. We're accustomed to being in control. But we must learn to surrender. We must give up the I for us. You and God are us. Amen. You and God. We must surrender. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 said, learn to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in the proper time. Cast your cares on him, because he cares. You see, we need to learn to let God carry us. We don't have to worry about carrying ourselves. We don't have to carry the burden of worry. We don't have to carry the burden of stress, anxiety, and concern. We don't have to carry the burden of depression. We don't have to carry ourselves by ourselves. We don't have to care for ourselves by ourselves. God loves us. He cares for us. He will carry our burdens and he will carry us. But we first, the scripture says, we must humble ourselves. We must learn to take our burden to him and leave them there. We must learn to surrender. I get ready to close. Verse 33 lets us know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously. He will give you everything else that you need. Seeking God will eliminate worry. Worry will consume you. It will devour you, monopolize your thoughts. But instead of allowing worry to consume you, instead of allowing worry to monopolize your thoughts, amen, we must learn to see God. Amen. Instead of allowing worry to consume us, we must learn to be consumed by God. Amen. When we are consumed by our worry, amen, hearing everything going to be okay, that won't comfort us. When we're consumed by worry, hearing the word of God, a message like this won't comfort us. When we worry, amen, hearing, amen, and knowing that God will work everything out somehow, amen, in his own time, won't comfort us. Because we're so consumed by our worry, we're so consumed by our doubts that everything will always be this way and nothing's going to get better, amen, that we will not be comforted by the word of God. When we're consumed with worry, we'll be so clouded with doubt and concerned that things won't get better. But we must remember this scripture during times of worry. We must remember that seeking God will eliminate worry. We must prioritize. We must put God first in our lives
We must seek God, not money. And seek God, not success. Seek God, not status. Seek God, amen, not control. Seek God, not the things of this world. If we seek God above all else, he'll teach us how to obtain everything else that we worried about. If we seek God above all else, he will teach us how to obtain everything else that concerns us. Everything else that we tend to focus on, like money and power, success and control, all they are competing priorities. They're competing with God to be the most important thing in your life. And if God is not the first, most important in your life, trust me, one of those things will be. If God is not the most important thing in your life, if he's not the number one, if he's not priority, one of those competing priorities will be. You'll be consumed with yourself. You'll be consumed with getting money. You'll be consumed with where you live and what kind of clothes you have on and how old they are. All these kind of things that don't mean a thing.
Amen.
We have to learn to put God where he belongs. Because if we put him where he belongs, he'll teach us how to prioritize everything else. He has to be first. He said, I'm a jealous God. I have no other God before me. I have nothing else before me. I have no job, no husband, no wife, no money, no aspiration. I have nothing else before me. I'm a jealous God. I deserve to be first place in your life.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Because of all that he did for us and all that he is to us and all that he means to us, the fact that he created us and breathed the breath of life into us, he deserves. But he's not going to force you to do it. He wants you to put him there. He wants you to put him there.
Gentleman.
Amen. He's a gentleman. He wants you to put him there. He's not going to force his way anywhere. That's where he belongs, but he's not going to force his way.
Yes.
He's not going to make you do nothing. You have to realize that's where he belongs. You have to put him there for yourself. You have to prioritize. And if God is not number one, trust and believe. Amen. The crazy part about it is the stuff that the competing priorities in our lives, they're not gentlemen. They don't care.
Yes.
If God's not there, they're going to be there. They're going to just take residence like they belong there, like they own it. Like rats and roaches. If you don't clean your house, rats and roaches are going to show up like they own it. Like they pay rent. They're going to show up. They don't belong there, but they're going to show up like they do. And all those competing priorities are just like those rodents that we despise and detest. A lot of us have roaches in our house, in our spiritual houses right now. Mice run around, rats run around our spiritual houses right now. Because we don't have God where he belongs in our lives. They're not gentlemen. They're not going to just wait for you to invite them. They're going to just show up. Hey, worry, I'm here. I'm going to monopolize your mind for the next 3 hours, so don't worry about nothing else. Worry, stress, I'm here. I'm going to monopolize your mind for the next 3 days, and I'm going to make you not want to do nothing but lay in this bed, so don't worry about nothing. They're not going to ask you to come. They're going to just show up. And if you don't allow God to be number one in your life, there's nothing you can do about it. But you have to realize that when God is priority, when he's number one in our life, amen, those things got to bow to God. Not to say you won't get concerned about things, but again, there's a difference between worry and concern. Because if I'm concerned, I move to action and I trust God that everything is going to work out. And I'm not going to allow worry to monopolize me no longer. We have to realize God needs to be number one. That's why he says, seek ye first. Seek God above everything else. And the crazy part about it is, he didn't tell us who to seek second and third and fourth. He didn't give us anything else to seek. He said, seek ye first. And then I'll add, seek ye only the kingdom of God. If you put all your focus and all your attention on God, he will show you exactly how to do everything else. I'm worried about my kids and I hope they grow up to be decent people, but I can't worry about it. All I got to do is say, Lord, I trust you to teach me how to be a great father and to teach my children, amen, to follow your ways. I can't do nothing else. But God, I'm going to show them. Can't worry about it. I'm worried about, I can't worry about my bills. Amen, I work at a job. I don't get paid an hourly rate. I get paid only on commission. And sometimes that stresses me out. What if I don't get deals this week? I can't worry about it. I know that the Lord will provide. That job is not my provider. God is my provider. Come on, somebody. Somebody didn't get that. I said, that job that you're worried about is not my provider. God is my provider. I have to learn to trust God. No matter what I go through, I have to learn to trust God. And last year, I was able to tithe, and I'm going to say to my business meeting, but I was able to tithe $7,800 to the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Which means that 10%, which means I made almost over $80,000 that I took home with me.
Amen.
Which means I grossed more than that. God is good.
Yeah.
And I'm not bragging about nothing. Because I can make that.
that money today, maybe next year, I'll make nothing. But I'm telling you, Amen. I had to learn to trust God, and when God trusted God, that's what He did above and beyond what I could ever imagine.
Amen.
So I thank God for His goodness. I thank God for His grace. I had to learn to trust Him. I had to learn to put my everything in Him. I'm worried, just like everybody else, concerned, just like everybody else with things, but I had to learn to trust God.
Yes, trust God.
Because He is the number one priority in my life.
Yes, you are, Lord.
And when I put Him first, He'll show me how to do my job better. He'll show me how to be a better husband. He'll show me how to be a better father. He'll show me, amen, exactly what I need to do. We have to learn to put Him first. Verse 34 says, don't get worked up about tomorrow. What may happen or what may not happen. Give all your attention to God and what He's doing right now. And God will help you deal with whatever else comes up. Planning for tomorrow is important. It's wise, it's valuable. Planning for tomorrow can help you eliminate worry. But worry about tomorrow is a waste of time. No one knows what today will bring, let alone tomorrow. So there's no reason to worry. Amen. Worry about tomorrow robs you of your joy for today. Anxiety from yesterday robs you, amen, of your peace for today. Stress about the future robs you of your happiness for today. Pressure from your past robs you of your contentment for today. Concern about the imminent, amen, the right now, the things you can't do nothing about robs you from your enjoyment and your satisfaction of today. When we worry, we are literally spitting in the face of God. We're telling God, Lord, I trust my circumstance more than I trust my God. I trust what I'm looking at more than I trust my God. I trust what I'm fearful of more than I trust my God. I'm trusting in the worry. I'm trusting in the doubt. I'm trusting in the stress. I'm trusting in everything that I'm concerned about more than I trust my God. Stop spinning in God's face. Stop worrying yourself to death. There's nothing to worry about. Why? Because God has everything in the palm of His hands. He is in control. He has everything under control. There is no need to worry. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds tomorrow. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So don't worry about it. Amen. Put your hands together. Thank God. Don't worry. Don't worry. Hallelujah. About tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm worried.
I said, I don't smoke cigarettes.